You ever think about like all the stuff we just don't see when it comes to foreign policy? Like all the ripple effects on regular people who have been living in these places for centuries? And that's what we're diving into today. It's the impact on these historic Christian communities, and we're going to be looking at it through the lens of J.D. Vance.
Well, now Vance isn't like your typical foreign policy expert,
Yeah, maybe
right?
not at all.
He's coming at this from the perspective of somebody who is like deeply connected to the struggles of everyday Americans.
Exactly. I mean, Hillbilly Elegy, that was all about, the forgotten corners of the country, and the people left behind by globalization and societal shifts. So how does that experience like inform his views on foreign policy? That's what we're going to unpack today. And we've got this article from Christian Culture News that lays out his critique. And our mission is to understand not just his arguments, but also the historical and humanitarian backdrop he's working with.
Yeah, and that historical context is so crucial here. We're talking about regions like the Middle East and parts of Africa where Christianity has existed for centuries, even before like the rise of Islam. It's not some like recent import. It's woven into the very fabric of these places.
We often hear about these regions in the context of Islam, but there's this whole other layer of history that gets overlooked.
Totally. And think about it, communities with traditions that go back to like the earliest days of Christianity. We're talking Assyrians, Armenians, Melkites, Coptic Orthodox. These are denominations that have been shaping the cultural landscape for
I
generations.
mean, centuries of history of traditions passed down through families, like to think about that being disrupted or destroyed, it's hard to even fathom the scale of the loss.
And that's what makes like understanding U.S. involvement in these regions so complex, because our actions, even with the best of intentions, can have like unintended consequences that reverberate through these communities.
The source highlights a couple of key examples, like the Iraq War in 2003 and the intervention in Libya in 2011. So what was the U.S. aiming for in those situations?
Well, in Iraq, the stated goal was regime change, removing Saddam Hussein and eliminating weapons of mass destruction, which we later learned didn't exist. But the result was a power vacuum, sectarian violence, and ultimately like a descent into chaos.
And in that chaos, the Christian population, which had been a significant presence in Iraq for centuries, was hit incredibly hard. The article mentions that before the war, there were an estimated 1.5 million Iraqi Christians. Now that number is down to less than 200,000. It's a staggering decline.
Yeah, and that's where I think Vance's skepticism of interventionism comes in. He sees these situations as prime examples of how U.S. involvement, even with seemingly noble goals, can like create more problems than it solves.
So Libya in 2011, that was about protecting civilians from Gaddafi's regime, right? But then the aftermath.
Again, we saw the country spiral into civil war, and once more, minority groups, including Christians, faced increased persecution and violence.
It's almost like we get so focused on the big picture goals like regime change, counterterrorism, strategic alliances, that we lose sight of the human cost on the ground, especially for communities that are already marginalized.
And that human cost goes beyond just like the immediate violence. We're talking about displacement, the destruction of cultural sites, legal discrimination, the psychological trauma of living in constant fear. It's a multi-layered humanitarian crisis that often gets buried beneath the headlines.
There's this one story in the article that really stuck with me. A Syrian Christian family forced to flee their home in 2013. They described the terror of watching their community crumble, the agonizing decision to leave everything behind, the profound grief of losing their cultural heritage. It's a powerful reminder that these aren't just statistics, these are real people's lives.
And I think it's safe to say that these are the stories that resonate deeply with J.D. Vance.
Right.
The sense that U.S. policy, despite its stated intentions, is contributing to these tragedies and neglecting the plight of these communities,
Right.
it seems to be a big part of what's fueling his critique.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Are we as a nation kind of turning a blind eye to the suffering of these communities? And if so, why? Is it really just about like strategic interests?
I think that's the heart of Vance's argument. He sees this disconnect between what America claims to stand for, freedom, human rights, democracy, and how our actions actually play out on the ground. And the article really digs into this, highlighting some key points.
So let's unpack that. What are some of the core arguments that he's making?
Well, one of the most compelling points he raises is that the U.S. consistently prioritizes its own strategic interests over humanitarian concerns.
Okay.
It's like we're so focused on like the geopolitical chess game that we forget there are real people living in the squares we're maneuvering on.
And those people in this case are the historic Christian communities we've been talking about.
Precisely. Vance argues that we're overlooking the significance of these communities, their deep roots in these regions, and the unique perspective they offer.
Right.
And in doing so, we're not only causing them harm, we're also contradicting our own values.
So he's saying by neglecting these communities, we're actually undermining our own moral standing in the world.
That's a big part of it. He believes it weakens our credibility and makes it harder to promote those very values, you know, freedom, democracy, human rights that we claim to champion.
Right.
After all, how can we effectively advocate for those ideals when our actions are telling a different story?
Now, I know some folks might hear all this and think, wait a minute, is Vance saying we should only care about Christians? Is this some sort of religious agenda?
That's a fair question, and it's important to address it head on. I don't think it's about prioritizing one religion over another. It's about recognizing the plight of all minority groups facing persecution and marginalization.
So the focus on Christian communities is more of like a starting point, a lens through which he's viewing a larger issue.
Exactly. It's the community he's most familiar with, the one that resonates most deeply with him.
Yeah.
But the underlying concern is about the responsibility of powerful nations to protect vulnerable populations, regardless of their religious beliefs.
It's about recognizing that foreign policy isn't just about these like abstract concepts or geopolitical maneuvering. It's about real people's lives.
And I think that's where Vance's perspective becomes really valuable.
Right.
He's reminding us to consider the human cost of these decisions, the unintended consequences that ripple out and impact communities in ways we often don't anticipate.
So if he's right, and our current approach is causing so much harm, what are the alternatives? Is there a way to kind of shift course to do better by these communities?
Well, the article does offer some glimmers of hope. It talks about the potential of increased diplomacy, targeted aid, specifically designed to support these communities, and greater international collaboration to address the root causes of conflict and instability.
So instead of just reacting to crises as they erupt, we need to be more proactive in trying to prevent them in the first place.
That's the idea, but it's important to acknowledge that these are complex issues.
Yeah.
And there are no easy answers.
Right. It's not just a matter of flipping a switch.
Exactly. Diplomacy can be slow and frustrating.
Yeah.
Aid can be mismanaged or even diverted. And achieving genuine international cooperation is incredibly challenging, especially when different nations have like competing interests.
So while there might be potential paths forward, there are also plenty of obstacles along the way.
Absolutely. But even acknowledging those paths is a step in the right direction. Okay.
Yeah.
It means recognizing the problem and starting to think creatively about solutions. And that's where I think this deep dive gets really interesting.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What are you thinking?
Well, the article mentions these potential solutions.
Right.
But it also got me thinking about Vance's background, his focus on the struggles of everyday Americans.
Uh-huh.
And it made me wonder if there's a connection there.
You're thinking about like the themes that he explored in Hillbilly Elegy.
Exactly. That sense of being overlooked, forgotten, left behind by the forces shaping the world.
Right.
Could it be that Vance sees a parallel between the struggles of those communities in Appalachia and the plight of these historic Christian communities in conflict zones?
That they're both, in a sense, victims of unintended consequences, whether it's globalization or foreign policy decisions.
It's a fascinating parallel, isn't it? And it raises some important questions.
Like what?
Well, if we take Vance's critique seriously, if we acknowledge the harm that our actions are causing, then what are our obligations? What do we owe these communities?
Is it simply about providing aid and trying to, like, mitigate the damage? Or is there a deeper responsibility? A need to rethink, like, our entire approach to foreign policy.
And that's where things get really challenging because it requires us to confront some fundamental questions about our role in the world.
It's not just about tweaking a few policies. It's about examining our values, our priorities, and the very assumptions that underpin our foreign policy.
And that's a conversation we desperately need to have, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it challenges our preconceived notions, because the stakes are incredibly high.
We're talking about people's lives, their cultures, their very existence.
Exactly. And ultimately, it's about figuring out how to be a force for good in the world, how to use our power and influence to create a more just and peaceful future for everyone.
And that brings us back to those solutions. The article mentions diplomacy, targeted aid, international collaboration. These aren't just abstract concepts, they're potential tools for building that future.
They're starting points at the very least, and I think Vance's perspective, his emphasis on the human cost of our actions, provides a valuable framework for evaluating those tools and figuring out how to use them most effectively.
So it's not just about what we do, but how we do it.
Yeah.
And with what awareness of the potential consequences.
And that's a powerful message, isn't it? It reminds us that even the smallest actions can have ripple effects, and that we have a responsibility to consider those effects before we act.
It's a call to be more mindful, more compassionate, more aware of the interconnectedness of our world.
And I think that's a message we could all benefit from hearing, regardless of our political beliefs or our stance on foreign policy.
Because ultimately, it's about recognizing our shared humanity and working together to create a world where everyone has the opportunity to thrive.
And that's a goal worth striving for, wouldn't you say?
You know, it's funny, we talk about foreign policy so much in terms of strategy and geopolitics.
Yeah.
But this whole deep dive has really highlighted like the human side of it all.
For sure.
These aren't just, you know, abstract decisions being made in some far off, you know, government building.
Right, right.
They have real world consequences for people just trying to live their lives.
It's something Vance seems to be acutely aware of.
Yeah. And it makes you think about all those voices we don't often hear in those big policy debates.
Yeah.
You know, the people whose lives are upended, whose cultures are threatened, whose futures are uncertain because of decisions made thousands of miles away.
It's about shining a light on those often forgotten corners of the world.
Right.
And reminding ourselves that our actions have ripple effects that extend far beyond what we might initially imagine.
It's like throwing a stone into a pond.
Yeah.
You know, the ripples spread out. They touch every part of the surface, even if we don't see them all.
And in this case, those ripples are impacting people's lives, their families, their communities, their very sense of identity and belonging.
So even if you don't agree with everything Vance says,
right,
or his specific focus on Christian communities, this deep dive has hopefully given you kind of a new perspective on foreign policy.
I hope so.
More nuanced, more human-centered perspective.
Because at the end of the day, it's not just about maps and borders and strategic interests. It's about people, real people, with hopes and dreams and fears, just like you and me.
And that's a powerful reminder, isn't it?
It is.
That our decisions, even those made on a grand scale, they have the power to impact individual lives in really profound ways.
It's a call to be more mindful, more compassionate, more aware of the interconnectedness of our world.
And maybe, just maybe, if we start thinking about foreign policy through that lens, we can start to create a world that's a little bit more, just a little bit more peaceful and a little more humane.
A world where everyone has the opportunity to thrive, regardless of where they're from or what they believe.
Absolutely. And thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been eye-opening, to say the least, and hopefully it sparks some new thoughts and questions for you to ponder.